الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، قد قال الله في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: وهو الذي أنشأ لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة قليلا ما تشكرون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسول النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Beloved ulama, elders, brothers in Islam, alhamdulillah, we've been hearing over the past few days the importance of the correct usage of our eyes, our tongue, our ears, our heart, that how it should be used according to the command of Allah and the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that fasting is a training course. Nazir has been explaining to us that this training course is there so that this fasting is to develop ourselves, that throughout the whole year we can use it only in compliance and in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the verse I've recited, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Mu'minun that it is Allah, it is He who has created the eyes, the ears, and the heart. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Very little do we show gratitude. That Allah is the one who gave us the eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gave us the ears. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gave us the heart. And this should be only used according to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, He is the one who has given it to you. So now if He is the one who has given it to us, then we should only use it according to His wishes and His desires. Now we heard the bayans over the past few days. Which one of us this morning woke up when we were eating our seri and now we're making our intention that today I'm going to fast? Did it occur to our mind that, Ya Allah, allow me to make a fast of not just the fast that we are saying of the body, but the fasting of the eyes, the fasting of the ears? Did it occur to us at that time that we've been hearing the bayan every day, but is the reality coming to our heart? Are we practically bringing to our mind and our conscience that, Ya Allah, allow me now to have that type of fast where my eyes are only used for Your pleasure. My speaking is only according to Your commandments. And if we look at another verses in the Quran, so Allah, the first lesson for myself, Allah may realize that the talking here is only for my islah first, and then the islah, the guidance of the whole ummah. Hazrat Wala mentions that when the speaker is sincere and the listener is also sincere, then the subject matter comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala grant us sincerity. And also to make dua, a nice dua also to make on the day of Jummah, is that, oh Allah, wherever the khatibs are speaking in the world, oh Allah, allow them to speak haq. Put haq on their tongue. Let them speak haq and not feel shy to say what the correct commandments of deen, sharia. And also make it such that the people are susceptible and they are receptive towards it, and they put it into practice wherever it is. Now, by the barakat of this, inshallah, wherever the ulama are speaking throughout the whole world, we'll also have a share in the good that's being spoken there. And those who practice upon it, inshallah, out of Allah's grace, Allah will give us also a share of those who practice upon it. Allah give us tawfiq. So these faculties are all bounties of Allah, and we're drowning in the bounties of Allah. These bounties are given us to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And only when a bounty is taken away, then we realize the greatest of the bounty. Then it's snatched away. Then we realize it. So many, we were listening to friends' story of how much difficulties others. We were now in Durban, and Hazrat Muhammad Padia Sahab's father is not well, so Allah Ta'ala grant him Shifa Kamila. He's unable to swallow at this moment. So now they have to make another route to for able to nourish him and sustain him. We're eating every day with ease and comfort. And we're putting our hand to our mouth with ease and comfort. When did we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His bounty? And whatever predicament and circumstances we are faced with and we're experiencing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that we will find someone in a worse condition than us. We'll always find someone. And that is just to enable us to make gratitude and show gratitude. And Allah complains that we are not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse, قل أرأيتم إن أخذ الله سمعكم وأبصاركم وختم على قلوبكم. This eyesight, this hearing that we have, this heart that we have, if you are not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, then if Allah snatches it away, من إله غير الله يأتيكم به. If Allah takes this power of sight away, Allah takes this ability to hear away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the ability of the heart to ponder and to beat. They say the heartbeat, if I'm not mistaken, over 100,000 times a day. In one day, the heart beats over 100,000 times. If Allah takes this faculty and the power of it away, then man ilahun ghairullah ya'tikum bih. Where is the ilah? Where is the deity that will be able to bring it back? There's no deity. It's only Allah's fadl, Allah's bounty, Allah's mercy. So we should realize that this ability of hearing is also a ni'mat of Allah. Not just the ear is one thing, but the ability to hear is also a ni'mat. And if you go into studying the entire ear and the different process of the ear, it's a field of its own. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to show gratitude for this. And in another verse, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرُ وَالْفُعَادِ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنُهُ مَسْئُولًا. That all of these things which has been emphasizing on us, that each one of these faculties, you will have to answer. And Allah specifically makes mention of this. The eyes, the ears, the heart. It will be kullu ulaika kana anhu masula. You will have to give reckoning. You'll have to stand before Allah. And the fact of the matter, if there's going to be reckoning, you're going to have to answer it. That means you have to use it correctly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and protect us from that type of eye, ear and heart which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in the ninth paragraph. لَهُمْ قُلُوبُ اللَّهِ يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنُ اللَّهِ يَبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. That ear, they have ears, but they don't hear with it. They have eyes, but they didn't see Allah with it. They didn't see the greatness of Allah. Like we were in Tashkil with one brother, and alhamdulillah, with the barakat of going out in the path of Allah, he said, I would see a tree, I would see the stars, I would see the sky, I would see all of this. But I would just think, Masha, you know, wow, so beautiful, amazing. But he says, after coming out in Allah's path, now when he sees, he says, Subhanallah, my Allah has created it. A change in perspective, a change in direction, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, that type of eye, that we have eyes, but it doesn't see Allah. It doesn't see the commandments of Allah. It doesn't see things through the ways of Sharia and the way in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So beloved brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a true fast and the reality. You know, they say that making intention to be with, making intention, you know, they say, give a very beautiful example. They say that person who makes intention to go for Hajj, and then on the way, he passes on the journey, then inshallah he will be raised up with the Hujjaj. He'll be raised up with the Hujjaj. Likewise, if we come here with the intention to make our Islah, and our intention is to find nisbat and connection with Allah, recognition of Allah, refine our character, remove evil traits and bring good habits, and to be like in such a way to emulate the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, then in the process, even if we didn't start the journey, even if those qualities weren't yet inculcated in us, we didn't really imbibe them as yet, but the intention, sincere intention in our heart was there, that is my intention, my Islah. I want to get connection with Allah. I want recognition of Allah. I want to find enjoyment in Sharia. I want to be in total obedience and compliance to Allah and the command of Allah and the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then if we die in that process, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise us up with the Sahaba. That our intention is that our hearts must be like the Sahaba. Our way should be like the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when this effort is made, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us that qualities. And we'll start seeing it. We'll see the fruits of those efforts. If we take a glimpse a little bit into the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and we see that when they developed this, the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was adopted, and they spent so much time in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that sohbat, just being there close by, that the iman developed up to such a level where deen was a priority in their life. Deen took preference over everything else. Deen was enjoyable, and even when physical means was left out, they were happy and contented with the spiritual means. The first incident which I'd like to mention, and this is a very important factor to see, that we should also make fikr, like how our eyes and ears all have to be used correctly, We should also make that worry and concern that not only myself, my spouse has to also come on to the same way. That concern of how, yeah, alhamdulillah, we are listening to it, all the beautiful talks, but we need to take it back home. And then you see in the lives of Sahaba that the husband and the wife, the spouses, they were on the same page. And the first incident is, Hazrat Suwaid bin Ghafala radiallahu anhu narrated on one occasion, said that Ali radiallahu anhu was very, very hungry. So he asked Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha that she should please go to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for some food. So she then went on the request of her husband. See how she complied, mashallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the best of reward and the highest of stages in Jannatul Firdaus. So she went and she addressed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, O Nabi of Allah, the food of the angels, the food of the angels is subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wa mada ta'amuna, what is our food? Where's our food? Meaning there's nothing in the house of Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something to this effect. He said, by the qasam of that being a sin, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the truth, the stove in the house of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah and Alim Ari Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not been lit for the last 30 days. See, we think we sacrifice. Look at the life of Sahaba. You see that our sacrifice is not a drop in the ocean. So then the Nabi of Allah first he addressed it and said, look, we're also going through the same plight. And then he said, oh Fatima, if you would like, that I have some goats that have come by. If you wish, then I can give you 5 of those goats. I can give you 5 of those goats. But if you wish, I can give you something better than that. And what did she opt for? Their lives was, their vision of their life was akhirah. That's why we must ask ourselves at this point, did I make intention this morning that my purpose of my life is the pleasure of Allah in akhirah? If we made intention that the purpose of our life is akhirah, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then our mindset will be able to become like this here. We'll be able to think like this. Although we'll never be able to reach that level, but slowly but surely it will start settling into the heart. So she said, O Nabi of Allah, I opt for you teaching me those words. So then she said, Ayy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Fatima, recite, Ya awwal al-awwaleen, Ya akhir al-akhirin, Ya rahim al-masakeen, Ya dal quwwat al-mateen, Ya arham al-rahimin. And then she left. She took these words. They knew that something, if I go, she knew, radiallahu anha, that if I go back with the goats, it's something of the dunya. I go back with something, some words from Allah, Rasulullah, some Jibreel, alayhi sallam. This is something which is everlasting. There's no end to it. The reward is never ending. And the prophet from there, the dividend from there is far greater. That the goat will come to an end, but this word I'll directly draw from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the point I want to highlight here is that she was sent on a request for something of a material thing, and then she said, when she came home, Ali radiallahu anhu said, and Ali radiallahu anhu asked, oh Fatima, how did it go? What happened? So she said, I went in pursuit of something of the dunya, and I've come back with something of the akhirah. And the answer Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu gave was most amazing, which is a lesson for you and I. He sent her because of hunger. You know, when we are hungry and it comes time to start and how we are. everybody can't wait to get down. Everybody's dashing forth. Allah Ta'ala make it easy for the Palestinian people, those people who are suffering with food. When you see them, they just take one morsel of food. And yeah, and unfortunately, on the other hand, we are wasting food. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. Allah ta'ala give us that consciousness of where we're picking up the last grains of rice, cleaning up our plate. And the sign that if you're concerned of that last bit of food, it is a sign that Allah ta'ala will never deprive us of that food. But if we just leave it anyhow, we're not concerned, then it's a very unfortunate sign. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us, guide us, and give us that reality to appreciate these bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that we not be from the ones, قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. That we are not from the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, very few are grateful to me. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu responded and he said, when she said radiallahu anhu that I've come back with something of akhirah, he answered and he said that this is the best of your days. The best of your days. What a mindset that they had. And the point I wanted to highlight was here that husband and wife were both on the concern of connection with Allah, on deen, that took a priority in their life. That was a concern in their life, so they both could accept it. And when we make figure that when now alhamdulillah we've come here, concern for Islah is taking place, concern of Nisbat Allah, connection with Allah, but we need to go home and make the same worry and concern when we go. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has seen something in us and allowed us to come. Now we need to take that worry and concern to our homes as well. And take that, and then we'll see a home of joy, a home of bliss, a home of happiness. And one of the prescriptions, together with getting our families to also listen into the majlis, the weekly majlis, monthly majlis, and also trying to bring them with us. Alhamdulillah, Allah has made it so easy and Allah Ta'ala has facilitated for us that we have all the accommodation is being made. So we can come with our families. That this, you know, when a human being, if a person sees a beautiful scene, then if he's alone, he can't really enjoy the scene. He tastes a delicacy or a delicious meal. The first thing he'll say, please, tasty, this thing is really tasty. In terms of the dunya, we understood that. We see a beautiful manzar scene of the mountain, or the night, the stars, or the ocean, and we'll tell a friend, subhanallah, look how beautiful that is. But when is that feeling going to come into our heart? When we see something beautiful of deen, and our first thing is to come home, and we say, my beloved wife, my children, this is something so beautiful of deen. That I tasted something which the seven earths and seven oceans and the seven earths can't compete with. Because the sweetness of deen, it can't be found anywhere else. The ecstasy. If people can find, you know, Hazrat Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi said that some people find it hard to believe, they find it hard to believe that a person can spend the entire night in Allah's worship. He writes it in Fazail Amal. The brothers can check it up if they got their sentence. You can check it up there. That Hazrat Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Nawar Allah Umar Qadahu, he states that if this was a fallacy, it wasn't true, that a person could stay all night up in Ibarat, I don't have it the slightest, but Allah Ta'ala bless you, that's why I should speak to myself first, and that's what our Hazrat teaches, speaking to my own heart first, is that if this was false, then you wouldn't find people spending an entire night in the disobedience of Allah. You'd find a person who could spend an entire night in a casino gambling. Or other person, those who, Allah forbid, Allah save us, but those who have love for the CDs and this TikTok and those type of things, then they can spend hours go by without them feeling it. If they could do it in the wrong way, then most certainly you can do it in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Rayhana radiallahu anhu, when he came back from an expedition, and when he returned back from the expedition, then how is it when we're going to go back home after our 10 days? After our 10 days, it took our 30 days. It's a new honeymoon for us. We shouldn't have honeymoon, but a new marriage for us. Abu Rayhana came back from an expedition, and we would be so excited, we're counting the moments before we go back home to our families. And Abu Rayhana requests his spouse that, please just give me a few moments, I want to make two rakat salah. And then he starts his salah, after Isha salah. And he performs it. What did they have, my beloved brothers? What connection did they have with Allah? May Allah give us a taste, but a tiny, we need a glimpse of it in our heart. The deen becomes sweet. It becomes our blood, our pulse, our heartbeat. The deen becomes our life. Deen becomes infused in our meat, in our blood, in our brains, in our heart. That this is what I'm living for. This is my purpose of my life. That's what the Sahaba, it got infused into them by the barakah of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By sitting in that company, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it part of their fiber. That's when they found that enjoyment. They found that pleasure in talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He starts his salah, and the next thing it is the Fajr Adhan. He completes his salah. When he completes his salah, his wife is standing by his side and says, don't I also have a shame? He said, had I thought of you, I would have most definitely given you your shame, your rights and your duty. However, when I started speaking to my Allah, Jannat and Jahannam came before. How many of those were Sahaba radiallahu anhum in Fadail al-Sadaqah? There's so many stories I mentioned that they said that Sahaba said that, Ya Allah, Allah, you bear witness, I would try and sleep, but then the thought of Jahannam would come before me. The thought of Jahannam would come before me, and my sleep would then flee away, and I would spend the entire night in the worship of Allah. Hazrat Wala always mentions to us, he says that When last did I cry out of the fear of Jahannam? Or when last did I sit and I just think of the bounties of Jannat and I cry and shed a tear? These are the things that we should really, you know, make effort for. These are goals to reach. And when Sayyidina Fatima got this word, she knew that now she will be able to draw directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When on the basis of deen, everything will be set aside. The more we come onto deen, the more we come onto our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of our dunya. Adding on the fact of where we should have our husband and spouse, this worry and concern should be for the family and children as well. Otherwise, deen will just be a temporary thing. As long as we're there, when we're gone, there won't be a deen in the home. But if this worry and concern that we're making ta'lim at home, the first point we mentioned is to try and make them listen in, tune in online, and on a monthly basis, if we are, try and come and bring our mothers, sisters as well for the program. That's the first point which we should take home. And then secondly, to make daily ta'lim. Daily to take out ta'lim and read ta'lim in the home. And this will have a tremendous effect. I always tell my friends, you know, if you really want to make your home a garden of Jannat, you want to make it a palace of Jannah here in the dunya, make ta'lim in your home every day. Don't let a day go by where there is no ta'lim in the home. You'll see your spouse and your children become the coolness of your eyes. Allah make it like that for all of us. So Abdullah bin Rawaha, just to see the husband and wife on the same page, what love and affection they had. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu, on he's laying with his spouse, and as he's laying, he starts to cry, he starts to weep. And when he starts to weep, see the affection and love that they had between themselves. When he starts to weep, she also starts weeping. And then he asks her, what makes you weep, oh my wife, oh my beloved wife, what makes you weep? She said, what makes you weep makes me weep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created affection, that bond between us. And this really is the basis of deen. It is in the basis of deen, you know. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah, which will create that muhabbat between our spouses. And this is the criterion and the prerequisite of that, how much we want to make our islah, how much we want to come onto deen. So then he explains, so that what's my concern? What's my worry? What's making me cry? And he says, I promise you, the tears that are coming out of my cheeks is not because of some love or attachment to the dunya. Or it's not attachment to you. It's none of those two. It's not attachment to the dunya, or it's not attachment to you. But I'm thinking of the verse, وَإِن مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا. That every one of us will have to cross over the bridge of Sirat. And this is a decreed command by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm thinking and pondering over that. That's what's making the tears flow from my cheek. Is any one of us, myself, sitting just thinking and pondering over that, and thinking that, Ya Allah, how am I going to cross it? At the stages of the first stage of how the Kawthar, then on the scale of deeds, whether our scale is going to be heavy or light. Then thirdly, is our book of deeds going to be given in the right hand or left hand? And then crossing over the bridge of Sirat. And then are we going to enter Jannah without reckoning or with reckoning? And then when it comes to us, is that worry and concern that my spouse also, that she also has that worry and concern. And when that worry and concern come, then it will gradually go. I always tell my family, you know, sometimes you say, no, the environment is not good, or different children, or the other neighborhood, whatever it is, schooling, whatever, Allah Ta'ala may guide us in the right direction. But I say that how the mother and father is, the qualities, the ways of the mother and father, how they carry themselves, and the connection that they have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by default, the children will then follow suit afterwards. Either in the life, in lifetime or afterwards, their desire will also, even no matter what they see, or no matter which friends they go with, Allah Ta'ala make us that we may worry and concern who they associate all the time. But even if they go, Allah forbid, if they go into the wrong or they develop a bad habit, but eventually they will want to come back to how the mother and father, how their parents are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding. And like Mulana has mentioned, Abdul Qayyum Sahib was explaining us so beautifully about the different stages of the nafs. And he explained that the normal we know from, he explained from the kitabs, you have nafse ammara, nafse lawama, nafse mutmainna. And then he explained that he hadn't seen anywhere else but in Hazrat Mulana Shah Muhammad Hakim Akhtar Nawwar Allah Marqadahu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate his status and grant him the best of reward for, you know, igniting the love of Allah in this country and passing it on to us. So he says that the first stage is to get this under control, that the stages we need to transcend. Why I'm mentioning this? Because I want to mention a story at the end after that, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that worry comes in, that to overcome all of these stages of the nafs, and the first stage of ammara, then lawama, and then mutma'inna. Mutma'inna, where the nafs is now under control, it's contented, it's happy with the decree, it is, you know, at a happy space. And then he says, Hazrat Mu'adh Shah Hakim Akhtar Rahmatullah Alayhi explains further that there's two more stages, that radiyah and mardiyah. Radiyah is that stage where you are pleased now. And mardiyah, the highest stage, where Allah is also pleased with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us for that stage. But this will come with some effort, coming under the guidance and supervision and the watchful gaze of our Shaykh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant good health, afiyat, salamat to our beloved Shaykh. And all the mashayikh of the world make dua on a daily basis that Allah keep ulama'i haqq alive, preserve deen. A time when deen is so difficult to practice on. But by the fadl of Allah, by Allah's kindness, Allah's mercy, their presence, they enable us, they give us the himmat and the courage to come onto deen and show it is practically possible. Like I said, mentioned in the majlis, where there's a will, there's a way. When you have that will, you can do whatever you want. Somebody said that a paraplegic, quadriplegic person, quadriplegic means that his legs are not working, upper body is not working properly also, and he endeavored to climb up Mount Everest. Now imagine if you and I, if we endeavor to find Allah, make that a burning desire in our heart. Where to what stages Allah will reach us? And there's no end. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinite. There's no limit to the greatness of Allah. Like that, the journey to Allah tabaraka wa Allah is also, there's no end to it. The further you go, the deeper you go, the more enjoyment you will find, the more pleasure you will find. So talking about the five stages, is a very beautiful incident, which is mentioned in Hayat al-Sahaba, about Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu. And Sa'id bin Juwayr radiallahu anhu mentions, Alhamdulillah, Allah gave us tawfiq, we visited this qabr in Taif. If Allah gives us tawfiq to go to Medina Munawwara, it's really a journey that you should take to go visit Taif. Go up the mountain slowly to Taif. And when you're going up that mountain and you're seeing, I don't know if they say there's another entrance into Taif, but going up that mountain you see those mountains, how huge those mountains are. And you're thinking of how the Nabi of Allah walked up those mountains at the story of Taif. Tears will trickle down your cheeks and you think that, my, if you just think for a moment that what the Nabi did for you, that should, you know, be a catalyst to enable you to give your life for deen. If you just read over the stories from Hayat al-Sahaba, or Fadail Amal, or any Sira Kitab, how much the Nabi made, what sacrifice he made, just so that you and I can get our salvation, that should really, and then go to those places and you see. So Abdullah bin Abbas is buried there, and it is noted that on the occasion of his death, then they witnessed that a white bird came from, all of a sudden from nowhere, came and flew into the shroud, into the coffin of Abdullah bin Abbas. And then they tried to wait for it to come out, to find it. In one narration explained, they searched in it, they couldn't find it. They couldn't find the bird. So he was buried in that condition with the white shroud, with the white bird that flew in it. And then, as they buried Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, this verses of Surah Fajr was then recited. Ya ayyatu an-nafsu al-mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah fadkhuli fi 'ibadi wadkhuli jannati. That, oh, that soul which has been contented now. You've been happy with the peace. Your peace, you're in harmony, you're in gratitude with the decree of Allah. Now, irji'i, return back to your Rabb. Radia, in such a condition, which we said the five stages, a condition where you are pleased and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased. Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, we heard this verse being recited, but we don't know who recited the verse, as if an angel came and recited unseen verse. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, Allah give us the reality. Just to recap, we spoke about that Allah has been mentioning and emphasizing on us the importance of guarding our eyesight, our ears, our heart, and the verse 6. That we'll all be answerable for this, and let us come over and over to these majalis so that we can get connection with Allah. The days of itikaf are coming also. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to make intention of itikaf. It was, ulama said, sunnah mu'akkada to sit for itikaf in the last 10 days of Ramadan to find the night of Lailatul Qadr. Allah ta'ala give myself tawfiq in all and all ummah. Subhanallah.